In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of our Lord. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. Again, dear Lord, give us grace to hear your prophet's warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And if you would, take out your scripture insert and follow along with me this morning. Things had not worked out quite as they had planned. See, for hundreds of years, they were taught that they were the people of God. But if they were God's people, then why were things so messed up? Israel had had its heyday with David and Solomon, but that was about it. The two kingdoms began fighting each other. And eventually stronger enemies came in and took advantage. The answer had been there the whole time. Moses had told them that if they were faithful to the covenant, they would be blessed. And if they were unfaithful, they would be cursed. And over, the prophets warned them of their sin. And yet they continued. And they were dragged off into Babylon. But then the time of this exile had passed, and some returned to the land and started building again. This time, God of Israel would bring his messianic kingdom to bear, just as he had promised so many times before. Instead, they continued to suffer. Israel was weak. They dealt with poverty and suffering. They were surrounded on all sides. They never again were victorious in battle. They never regained their former glory. And they paid homage to whoever was the strongest Caesar in the valley. And because of this, they became more and more disillusioned. And it was into this sense of utter despair in the life of Israel that Malachi spoke. Now, from a strictly human standpoint, God did not owe Israel a thing. He told them they would suffer, and they did. And they still suffered. Because even after 70 years of exile, the people of Israel returned to the land and returned to their sin. And still, God spoke. And his words brought comfort and challenge. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. Now, it feels a little odd that we would be talking about this period of Israel's dark history during Advent. I mean, isn't this about Christmas? Isn't this supposed to be about happy things? Shouldn't we be focused on the birth of Jesus, this babe, and things like family and giving and sometimes getting presents
I mean, we get to Thanksgiving and what happens? Immediately, the lights go up, the tree gets cut down, we put on all the music, we have our favorite run of CDs, and all of these reminders of the darker times in Israel's history just seem a bit morose. But Advent is all about Christ coming to earth in the midst of a great darkness. And his coming is even more profound when we understand how great the contrast was between the people's despair and the hope that he represented. The other thing that we see this morning is that there is more than one Advent. Jesus doesn't only come out as a babe, but he also comes again as a conquering king. And the purpose of this king is to set all things, and I mean all things, aright. The first Advent is the miracle of the incarnation. Now think about this. The God of the universe takes on flesh and becomes fully God and fully man. Now, lest we approach this with too much familiarity, this is the most stunning event to happen in all of history since the creation. The voice that spoke creation into existence now cried in a manger. And when the angels spoke to the shepherds, even they understood the profound gravity of Christ, of God becoming man. They say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, the one who had commanded the angels in battle was now a baby on earth." But when Malachi says, "Who can endure the day of his coming?" he's now talking about a second advent. This is the day when Christ returns to earth and brings about the purification of the hearts of his people. It is this second advent that brings the final consummation of his kingdom to earth. On this day, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, we love the first advent and all it means for us to Christ, for Christ to come as a babe. But our hearts and our bodies long for the second advent. Because let's face it, you know what, though we welcome and celebrate the birth of Christ, his coming as a baby, and everything that means for us, we still deal with the sometimes horrible reality of being human. We're weak, body, mind, and spirit. We're all sinful, sick, and often alone. And at the second advent, we will no longer deal with corrupt bodies, corrupt minds, or corrupt hearts. Sickness and disease will be long past. We will never again lose loved ones to death. No longer will we deal with pride or addictions or any other sinful weaknesses, because in the second advent, these things are burned away like dross in silver. And as a result, we are made able to worship God wholly and without any sinful distraction. It's a wonderful glory to look forward to this second advent of Christ. But the refining process that I mentioned is not left to the second advent only. He begins the process in us today. And the thing that we must hear in our readings and even in our collect today is the call to repentance. Folks, that is what prepare the way means. When John the Baptist is sent into the wilderness to make his path straight, what happened? People came to repent and be baptized. The implication is this: we prepare the way for the Lord to come and take residence up in our hearts by repenting and living repentant lives. Folks, what came to me and struck me like a lightning bolt this week is Advent is chiefly about repentance. Not historical repentance in the past, and not repentance of them out there. It's about repentance in this room. It's about repentance in our own hearts. Advent is about us making straight the crooked paths within our own hearts so that we may receive the coming of Christ. We must make straight the paths in our relationships, in our commitments, in our attitudes, in our daily lives at work and at home. We come to Advent and we are reminded of the necessity to till the soil of our hearts so that it would be fresh, fertile ground for the grace of Christ to take root and grow. So when Paul writes, "This is my prayer, that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness," he is echoing the sentiment of preparing the way of the Lord. He is echoing the call for our repentance and for godly living. And how does that come about according to Paul? He says, it's by our love overflowing more and more with the knowledge and full insight. We must fill our hearts and our minds with the things of Christ through regular study, prayer, and worship. Now, is this all about our efforts? And is this all about us building up the strength within us to make this happen? No. Scriptures make this clear in our text that this comes about not because we have been so successful at our attempts to serve Him, but because of His promise. Remember how messed up Israel was when Malachi spoke? I mean, why in the world would God continue with them? It's because of His promise. And despite their brokenness, continued, despite their many failures, they still heard God say to them, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come." And He did. And just as God speaks to Israel in the midst of their despair, He speaks to us in the midst of our despair and promises relief. So when we are overwhelmed by brokenness, when we're surrounded on all sides by our enemies, when we're racked by sickness and grief, He speaks to our hearts a promise. A promise that He will set all things right. And He does this. He sets things right, not from afar, not from His lofty perch up in heaven, but by coming directly into our midst and becoming one of us to experience our suffering and to pay our price. Because just like Israel, we continue to fail. Yet, as God's people, we will succeed in our desire to follow God because He has determined it from the beginning. He has promised, get this, that He shall, that every valley in our hearts shall be filled, that every mountain and hill in our way shall be made low, that our crooked paths shall be made straight, and that we shall see the salvation of God. The gospel is this. Christ came as a babe, died as a savior, rose as a conqueror, and ascended as a king. And no matter what happens in this world that would drag us down into the paths of disillusionment, we can be confident that God is at work bringing to completion a plan that is bigger than all of history. A plan to bring us into His eternal kingdom. And how do I know this is going to happen? Because Paul says, He who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. What He begins in the first advent, He will be faithful to complete in the second. Amen. Amen.